This is a conversation with Gaby Tarsic, Vice President of Product of Evogene, where he leads efforts to integrate AI and automation into biotech innovation. With a background in cancer biology, Gaby bridges science and technology to accelerate drug discovery. I loved how he keeps human expertise, ethics, and regulatory rigor at the heart of AI-driven innovation in biotech. Very nice to meet you, Gaby. I appreciate your time. So let's start. I would like to this kind of more maybe thought-provoking question, but I would like to ask, with imagine that you are in your background is in biology and life sciences, right? However, I would like you to imagine that you are explaining this to someone who doesn't have that background. So could you please explain one cellular mechanism and how your company's technology improves our ability to understand it, like how your company helps?
Yeah, of course. And then, first of all, thank you for having me. Essentially, what Evogene is doing is developing novel drugs for life-threatening diseases or any other type of disease, where the way we like to think about it is that to get an optimal drug to the patient and make sure that it actually does what it's supposed to do, you need that drug to be optimized for many different parameters. Some are physical, some are chemical, others have to do with the safety. So we think about it like a Rubik's Cube, where essentially what you need to do is make sure that all of the colors align. And that's a combinatorial task. And when we were thinking about it that way, we thought, or we saw actually, that AI tools are really good at solving these combinatorial problems, and therefore structuring the question in that way made a lot of sense for us to use AI tools to develop novel drugs. So in a nutshell, that's what we're doing.
Okay, great. So what shift in mindset did you experience moving from cancer biology research to leading product at for biotherapeutics and now Evogene?
So, I started off as a biologist studying the actual mechanisms that drive disease, what causes it, and how to understand those problems. At a certain stage, I understood that it's not enough just to understand the problem, but also to try and solve them, to find a cure. And then Evogene, and as a company that's exactly trying to do that, and also my previous company at 4 Biotherapeutics, which was a drug development company, were really a good fit to challenge myself in trying to solve these problems which I was studying on a basic level. So that was the motivation that kind of brought me to do what I do today.
So for non-scientists, how would you explain Evogene's ChemPass engine and what problem it solves better than a traditional screening?
Perfect. So ChemPass essentially is an end-to-end computational chemistry platform that was purpose-built to support the discovery stages of drugs. There's many companies trying to do that. And we fully appreciate the variety of those solutions. But what we are doing, which we see as unique and as something that can really set us apart and bring real value to our partners, is that we are heavily focused on generative AI tools, which we develop in-house. So we have our own algorithmic teams. We have our own coding teams that are able to actually write AI code rather than just use it. And these generative tools are also something that is tremendously powerful, since the training set or the way we teach those generative models is based on a foundation model that we've also developed in collaboration with the Google Cloud team, which is essentially billions and billions of molecules in size. So that's a huge training set, which allows our Gen AI models, ChemPass GPT, to really find optimal solutions to the projects at hand.
Great. You also said that you guys in general, your team and you're moving from screening to designing molecules from scratch. Why do you decide to do that? And do you have any example of why it's beneficial for?
Yeah, definitely. To the extent that I do want to keep it very general for the sake of the audience. When companies essentially, when companies develop drugs, one of the major factors is that these are actually novel compounds. This has to do a lot with the ability to, from an intellectual, from an IP perspective, to cover and protect those inventions. Therefore, these novel compounds are a must. That's why design tools and generative tools are really a good tool to develop these types of drugs.
Oh, yeah. I've got a question, because everybody talks about cancer, for example, because you've got expertise in this, in what you do, right, in oncology. So what are the main misconceptions about cancer that ordinary people have in their daily lives?
At least from my perspective, which isn't saying much, but it's what my thinking is, that AI is usually considered a black box. However, the ability to interpret the outputs correctly and make sure that they align with what you're looking for is critical, more so in drug development, which is affecting human health directly. The ability to very accurately develop these tools and make sure, in terms of quality assurance, and make sure that they're actually doing what they're supposed to do and not just missing the point, is critical. I think a second aspect is that this is a lengthy process. It's not just a button you press. It's actually processes which take months and months on end for the development of a new drug. And therefore, the ability to use these tools with the right expertise, so it's something that has, that computational chemists do, is something that scientists do, is critical for the successful usage of those tools.
Okay. So would you mind sharing a painful mistake that Evogene have done in, at some point, as every company, right? You guys do mistakes, and what do you learn from that as a leader?
I'm not sure it's a mistake as much as it's an adjustment, right? Because every time you make a decision, you think it's the right decision. You don't do a mistake by purpose, on purpose. So Evogene, in that respect, is not a new company. It's a company that's been around for a while, and it's been doing computational biology, developing computational tools for many years. However, it was mostly focused on the agricultural sector. What we've seen in the last year or two, more so 2 years ago, is that these tools can actually bring much, much more impact when used for human health. So that strategic pivot from agriculture into human health, I see as a major learning curve. I'm not sure if you can define that as a mistake, but it is a major shift and a major difference in the way Evogene is acting.
Okay. So what do most people in AI for drug discovery overestimate?
That's a tough one, because I'm not sure I have a good answer for that, actually. But it's a very complex field on the one side, but it's a very dynamic area. Things are moving so fast. Every week, every month, you're seeing new studies and new inventions coming out that completely change the way you think. Keeping on top of things, keeping on track, and making sure that the right decisions are made is not an easy task. And people are really essentially running very quickly to make sure that nothing is missed.
Okay. So for founders who are building AI in biotech, which actually, there are a lot.
Yeah.
What are the three main, let's say, suggestions that you would give to them?
I think main suggestions for these types of companies are, first of all, solve a real problem. Go for something that is actually a major problem that's been vetted and that's been verified. So when you do have that solution, the problem still exists and it's not something that's already obsolete. Having the right team is critical. Being able to do those very early steps, which are critical for the life of the company, and do them with the right people, with the right expertise, so you don't make too many mistakes. Your mistakes are going to be made, but it's just making sure that there's not too many of them. And I think the third one is being very, very open-minded to changes, because sometimes, at least from my experience, starting with one specific problem in mind, that forms and evolves into a completely different problem along the stages of development. So being able to capture those changes and correctly adapt to them is critical.
Do you have any person, can be a founder or leader, that you admire in this biotech field?
I'm following many people, and every time somebody else does something amazing, so it's really hard to keep track. I think some of the companies in these fields are really trailblazing the path for the rest of us. So in silicon medicine, Isomorphic Labs, AtomWise are companies which have really been the founders of this new AI-driven drug discovery field. And to these we look for not guidance, but actually to see what they did and why they did it correctly and try to learn from those types of companies.
Nice. Do you have any name like of a person that it's famous for in this industry that you would like to share?
Nothing really comes to mind because I'm not good with names. I'm sorry. But no, I'm sorry. I don't have anything specific here.
Great. I usually ask this because sometimes like it seems we have a lot of industries from many different industries. So I feel like it's interesting for the audience to see what our leaders follow, right? And because there's so much information out there that we don't know if we can trust 100% or not. So I think we're coming from someone who have experience and an expertise in this field. I think it's very interesting to know what they are following or reading or watching. So that's like,
Sorry to disappoint.
No, it's okay. Gabby, you are building tools with Evogene who are pretty powerful because it's related with health and with saving lives, right?
Yeah.
How do you personally think about safety and ethical boundaries?
It's a major issue, and it's something that in general in the biotech field is taken very seriously, even without considering AI tools. It's just something that is always on the top of the priority list. And we have regulatory authorities, the FDA in the United States, EMA in Europe and others, which we essentially really follow their guidelines to make sure that things are done properly and that we're not abusing the technology so much. I think having said that, this is still an up and coming field and things are still in flux. So we need to be very careful in the way we use the technology and develop it. Again, because it directly affects human lives, right? It's something that is very close to our heart. And being very conscious of that, I think, is the most important thing. That's the best I can say, because in terms of ethics, it's not like the technology is being used. What we develop, we use internally. So we have our very kind of tight control of what we do. So in that respect, we are able to much better control those types of issues.
Okay. So I guess what you already said, that you guys are using agentic AI, right, for what you guys are building. So how do you balance the role of AI and the human side too, as human?
A great question. And it really changed because agentic AI is really new. And before that, we had other tools. So it's not an easy balance. On the other hand, the way we think about our development, it has a very strong foundation in experience and knowledge. And that's something and I think specifically for what we do, will always be the human factor within what we do, right? The ability of using the tools in the right way is something that we keep in mind. And we have our own teams, which are extensively trained, but also very well educated in those tools. So we make most of what we do. We're not really developing as a standalone tool. So it's always something that's going to be as a driver of the technology, but not a standalone technology. So in that sense, the human factor is still going to be there.
Do you believe that in the future, maybe in 10 years, AI or the next technology would be able to replace humans in this field of biotechnology?
I think it's going to be able to take over some of the tasks that have been traditionally done by humans. And we're seeing this along the history of biotech for many different aspects. When robotics and automation came in, then took over the experimental steps that were done by lab experimentalists. When we incorporated then stronger computational tools like bioinformatic tools and others, it took over some of the algorithmic tasks that were done by bioinformaticians. And I think AI is going to do the same for some of the tasks that are currently done by specifically for what where we are active computational chemists. But it's just going to open up new avenues for additional developments where we are going to be required to make that effort and to have our research teams do that development. So it's just giving us another tool in our toolbox, essentially.
Okay, Gabby, you moved from life science research into leading AI power product development. So it's obviously, I mean, it's related, but it's not super connected. So what were the challenges that you faced the most? Like maybe one challenge that you faced a lot for that transition, like you thought that maybe would be easier or maybe not?
I think coming from, as you said, from the life science side, there's a lot of emphasis on the details, on the very tightly scrutinizing everything you do. When you move into the computational aspects, it's a much larger scale of activities. So just being able to grasp that changed and the ability to just do so many more experiments, quote unquote, but computationally is something that took some time to adapt to. In the flexibility of the tools, the ability to do so many different things is something that really opens your mind. So that's something that was a challenge.
Thanks for sharing. Fast forward 5 to 10 years, how do you see Evogene, the evolution of Evogene?
I think because we are in biotech, life cycles are longer than other tech sectors. So, for example, developing a drug takes 10 to 15 years. The cadence is slower than others. And in that respect, we have a clear strategic plan for the next 5 years. We know where we want to go and what we want to achieve for that time frame. And because, again, these are longer processes, I think we have a good chance of meeting them. We are aligned and we are focused on what we do. So that gives us the motivation to actually achieve those goals. 10 years is really far away, so don't hold me on that. But I think continuing developing drugs, doing that in a larger and larger scale, having the ability to incorporate the ever-evolving computational tools that allow us to do that even better is what we aim at in our goal at the end of the day.
Nice. One question. Do you guys do B2B? That's your...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because sometimes I assume there's B2B, but sometimes I kind of, when I'm in the interviews, I completely asking things B2B or use cases or examples, and then we also do customers. So, but I get with the drug discovery, I don't think that you go directly to the customers without testing it or try it out. I think it would be a bit dangerous that.
Exactly.
Gabby, I already finished all the questions I wanted to ask you, but I would like to let you share anything else that you would like to share before we conclude, or it's all fine on your side as well.
I hope it was interesting, but essentially what we're here to do is really try, and if to be philosophical, do good to the world, right? We want to make novel drugs that essentially tackle diseases that are really importantly and affecting people very significantly. So in that sense, regardless of technologies, it's really fulfilling. It's something that really gets you going and gives you the drive for the day. And that's just a blessing in many ways. Maybe just a general note, nothing to do with AI specifically, but a general note on what we're doing.
Okay, Gabby, thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for joining the Humans on AI show. I appreciate you.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Humans on AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.